With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
All right, Michael Jordan and Tom Brady both have six rings and both often receive praise for being the GOAT in their respective sports. MJ has more regular season MVPs, but Brady has more championship appearances than his Aaroness and could pass him in titles next week. Both have had their share of game-winning moments and come from behind victories as well. So, Shannon, I start with you. Who is more clutch, Michael Jordan or Tom Brady?
Skip, this is really hard because the sports are so different. And they're both team sports. But Tom Brady is so much more reliant on the defense and on special teams than Michael is. So the only way I can equate it, Skip, I'm going to put it to you like this. I trust Michael Jordan's jump shot more than I trust Tom Brady throwing the football. I mean, that's the only way, because we haven't seen Tom have a walk-off where he throw in the Super Bowl, Skip, he throw the touchdown, and that's the ball game. And that's the difference, because he gets credit for a game-winning drive if Adam Vinatieri or Gostkowski or Suckup kicks the game-winning field goal. That's a game-winning drive. Tom Brady was clutch. And Jordan don't get credit for a game-winning shot if somebody else hits it. So for me, Skip, I'm going to have to, and it's tough, because Tom Brady has been to 10 Super Bowls, and I think it's probably a little bit more difficult to do what Tom has done than Mike, for the simple fact is football is one game. Just imagine you had to play, you know, you got to win four games to win a Super Bowl. Yep. Jordan has to win four games, so he has a margin of error. He loses. Just think, if he had his first final, Skip, the Lakers beat him the first game. Well, if that was football, it's over. Magic is the champion. So that's the only way I can look at it, Skip. I'm going to trust Michael shooting the ball more than I'm going to trust Tom throwing the ball.
So you said this is really hard
for me. It is. It is, Skip.
For me, this is really, 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 really hard. And I could go on the rest of the show with reallys, because that's how hard it is.
Right. Were you still covering the league when Tom won his first Super Bowl? Were you still covering the league? Okay.
But I was covering the Raiders.
Oh, okay.
I started with the Tuck Rule game, I'm about to get to.
Okay.
So I can only sum it up like this. It's hard for me to say Brady is more clutch than Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Right.
But Tom has been clutch more than Jordan had the opportunity to be clutch.
Yeah.
Because he's just done it longer.
Right.
Mike's career, all told, was relatively short. Mm-hmm. The forced sabbatical for a couple of years. And then he quit prematurely in Chicago because his coach got fired. And he said, if he goes, I go.
Right.
And he stayed out, retired for 3 years at the backside of his prime. And then it was a little pathetic to see him come back. He still averaged 20-6 for Washington, but still. That's it. That Chicago, those six championships, three, then 2 years off, and then three, that's it.
Right.
Tom's been doing this for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the scope of his consistent classic clutchness, it's unequal, it's unparalleled, and it doesn't get nearly enough credit because of what you said. There's no walk-off. There's no signature.
Right.
I saw a walk-off. Michael literally walked it off in game six at Utah.
Right.
And he did it on both ends of the floor. He stole the ball from Karl Malone.
Right.
He stole the ball. Michael did that. And then Scotty's demanding the ball over on the right wing. No, no, I got this on Brian Russell. No, no, Scotty, you can ask for the ball all you want. I got this. I got this. I'm going to do a little subtle push here, and I'm going to hold the pose and rip it. And we're gone. We're gone home. Okay. Well, I can't make that up. That's a fairy tale.
Right.
Okay. Brady has none of that.
Right.
Brady does nothing spectacular. Brady doesn't have highlight show highlights because he doesn't play like that.
Right.
I told you, sometimes the greatest genius is imperceptible genius, where it's beyond the naked eye genius, where he's
doing things that you just don't realize how special it is.
He is too great for his own good because he's not great. He's too perfect with his reads, his pocket feet, but it doesn't translate to highlight throws. So in the end, to your point, I guess if you push me to the brink and you say one shot or one pass for your life,
you're taking Jordan.
I'll still take Jordan. but if you talk about one game for your life, I'm going to go Tom.
No, hold on.
That's four quarters of game.
So you want to take Tom Brady over Mike a game.
And especially one season for your life, the longer the expanse of time, the more I'm going to take Tom Brady.
I can't go with you without it.
But think about what happened. I'm sitting in the press box on January 19th of 2002 covering the Raiders, and I thought they were really good. It's John Gruden's Raiders they would go under Bill Callahan the next year to the Super Bowl. Yeah. But I thought they were a Super Bowl-looking team at this point. So I picked him to win this game against the sixth-round pick in his first year of starting.
Right.
And I had overlooked the fact that that sixth-round pick was 11-3 as a starter after he took over Drew Bledsoe, who was 0-2 at that point.
Right.
And yet everything got marred that night by one play that happened, you know, sort of mid-fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And it was the wrong call.
Right.
It got overturned, and Tom fumbled the football, and it got reversed, and it saved the game because it wasn't mid-fourth. It was actually like a minute and 50.
It was like, it was really late.
So my point
it was under
was,
the two-minute warning.
Yes. So the point was that what got overlooked, what got obliterated was all the controversy of the Tuck rule. Meanwhile, in the second half, he's thrown for 238 yards in the snow. It's snowing cats and dogs up in Foxborough. He throws for 238 in the second half, and guess what he did in overtime? He goes 8-for-8 for 45 yards and sets up a chip shot field goal in the snow for Vinatieri.
That's what Aaron Rodgers was hoping for.
Okay.
He was hoping for that kind of game that Tom Brady got in New England against the Raiders.
Okay. Yep. I got it. But then he goes to the Super Bowl, and the numbers are pedestrian at best. But at the end of the game, they don't shut him down. They let him try for it, and he completes five straight huge passes to beat the St. Louis Rams, and the key one was the fourth pass because it went for 23 yards with 29 seconds left to set up a 54-yard field goal. Then he hits a six-yard pass to Jermaine Wiggins, tight end like you, and that sets up a 48-yard field goal, and Vinatieri hits it at the buzzer, and here we go.
Skip, I just think the thing is when you look at it, Brady had a strip sack. Brady didn't play well against the Rams, and we've never Jordan has had some games, but we've never seen Jordan get the ball taken away. And they win the ball game because they took the ball away from Jordan.
But think about this. Mike, six rings with six MVPs in the finals. Brady, six rings with six game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime. So there's no fluke in there. He pulled it off every time. No, he doesn't play defense the way Mike can play defense because the game doesn't allow it. But if we start to look at the AFC Championship games against Jacksonville, that they're down 20-10 going to the fourth quarter, and he throws for 138 with 12 stitches in the palm of his throwing hand. And they come back and win that game. And then the AFC Championship game at Kansas City against Mahomes in the first big go-around, he converts three straight third and tens in overtime. That's impossibly great. And then the Legion of Boom in the Super Bowl, 124 yards passing in the fourth quarter and two touchdowns brings him back from 24-14 down. And then The Atlanta Super Bowl, 246 yards passing in the fourth quarter in overtime, but you can't remember a one of them.
Right.
You can't because
right.
there's no signature.
Right. And I think that's the biggest thing, Skip, is that as great as you mentioned all those stats in the Seattle Legion of Boom,
yeah.
it's known for Malcolm Butler's play.
Okay, I got it. I got it.
And then
you throw back at me the Rams. Boy, he barely pulled that out. Well, he still went 5 for 5 in a drive in the middle of the fourth quarter to win the game, to put them ahead 10-3 because it was tied 3-3. Okay, so he hit Gronk with a 29-yard pass that set up a 2-yard run for a touchdown that won the game. He did that. So you want to talk about clutchness on the grandest scale over an expanse of time? There's never been anything like this before.
Yeah, but see the difference here, Skip, unless you're Magic Johnson, you're not getting credit for sitting guys up in basketball.
No.
Like the quarterback gets credit for game-winning drive if he sets the field goal kicker up and okay. he kicks the field goal. Like you said, Aaron Rodgers got credit for a game-winning drive against the Cowboys, but Mason Crosby had to make a 50, you said an intergalactic
He did.
Field.
He fought two of them.
He had to make
And
two
I thought he missed both of them. But he didn't. So here's
but
the other
But I can't
problem.
Believe I can't believe okay, you.
But here's the other problem with Brady. You underrate his clutchness because he doesn't look the part. He looks like, you know, that progressive commercial now about the guy who's teaching people to buy their insurance
oh, yeah,
to
yeah,
turn
yeah,
into
yeah,
their
yeah.
parents.
Yes.
Well, it looks Brady's the guy who turned into his dad. You know, he acts like he's older than he is.
Right.
But he is the classic, he's the wolf in sheep's clothes because it's all sheep's clothes where you look at him. Michael Jordan just looked like a cold-blooded assassin to me when he got that look in his eye, but you never see Brady get that look in his eye.
I can't believe that you said with one game, if you got a game to win in football, you want Brady over one game to win in basketball.
I do. For four quarters, this guy is going to figure out a way to beat you.
Well, you know, Jordan goes score 100. If he needs you to beat
you. I told you, one shot for my life, he can take it.
But oh, those not,
hey, look at the body of work. It's unparalleled. Nobody even talks. It doesn't get nearly enough
no,
credit.
No, I think the thing is, Skip, yeah, I'll give you credit. He's had more opportunities. I mean, well, actually, Jordan has had more opportunities because you play more games. But when you look at
we're talking about playoffs.
Right, right. Know. But I'm saying, but when you look at it, Skip, is that if Brady loses once, it's over. Somebody has to beat Jordan four times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. And remember, all these game-winning drives, all it takes is one little mistake, one little missed decision where you just pick the wrong guy at the wrong time and they pick it off. It ends the drive.
Or the guy, because see, here's the thing, Skip. He has to throw it. And you got to hope you don't get a situation like Nick Foles hitting Alshon, the ball carrying him through his hands.
Okay.
Jordan take that shot. It's all him.
It's all him. No, I got it. Okay. So
I can't believe it.
I'm sorry.
You know, give me all your Jordan stuff. You got to turn in your Jordan stuff.
No, I can't.
Yeah, you can.
I said one shot for my life.
No. You hold on. How many pitches you got a Brady throwing a pass?
None.
How many of you got a Brady holding the post, holding the trophy? None. Okay, how many pitches you got of Jordan with that shot?
I got a couple.
Yeah.
I got one big one that's on my wall.
Ernestine, take it down before you get home and put the Brady picture up.
We are not taking that picture down. Actually, I'll take that photo. That would be great. That looked hard for you, Skip. I feel like your face looks a bit...
It's tough. It's not as easy as you think.
You know, it's hard when they're both so good.
But the right answer is Goat James. Mm. That's the right answer.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
No.
The he wasn't
goat
part
who
of the
played like a barnyard goat in the fourth quarter last night and went 0-for-4.
It happens.
Scored 0.
It happened.
Yeah, no, sorry. He doesn't get tired, though.
He don't get tired.
He does not get tired.
No mercy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. No mercy.
Big Saturday on FS1. WWE Backstage is back for a Royal Rumble special. Renee Young, WWE Hall of Famer Booker T, and Paige host a preview for one of sports entertainment's most exciting nights with exclusive Fox guest and interviews. Plus, two huge announcements. Who will start the Women's Rumble match? And what man enters at number 30? Find out on WWE Backstage this Saturday at 8, 7 Central on FS1.
WWE Backstage returns for a Royal Rumble special tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Tune in to see Renee Paquette, Paige, and Hall of Famer Booker T as they reveal the coveted 30th spot in the Men's Royal Rumble. How about that? Let me tune in to see. Good stuff. Good stuff. Looking forward to it. Well, yesterday marked the 25th anniversary of the Cowboys' last Super Bowl win. Yes, 25. Just last month, Jerry Jones again said, quote, "Do you have any idea how much I'd write a check for if I knew for sure I could get that Lombardi trophy?" Dallas currently has the 11th best odds to win next year's Super Bowl, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. He has said it before, Shannon. Is Jerry most responsible for the lack of Super Bowls in the past 25 years?
Yes. He's the only constant. He's the common denominator. They've had different players. They've had different coaches. They've had a lot of different people. But the one constant is him. And therein lies the problem. Jerry Jones thinks his money can buy him a Super Bowl. He's looking for big names, Skip. Listen, when I look at the Cowboys over the last quarter century, the Cowboys are the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns with better uniforms and a larger fan base. That's what they are. Now, I wish I could tell you something different, but it's Jerry's fault because you know.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Okay, you're right. You got it, Skip. Damn, you caught me in a lie again.
Yep.
Skip, here's the problem, though, is that Jerry has been around in the beginning when Jerry first got this thing in the first 5 or 6 years, Skip, they had 3 Super Bowls. So when Jerry comes out and he says year after year, this team is as talented as those Super Bowl teams, he sets the expectations because everybody says, well, hold on. If they're just that talented, those teams won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years.
Yep.
So we Gucci. And then all of a sudden, you miss the playoffs. You win 5 games. You go 7-9. You go 8-8. And they go, hold on, wait a minute, Jerry. You said those teams are just as talented. Well, those teams never went 4-5-11. They never went 7-9 or 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
He sets the expectation, the unrealistic expectation so high that they're never going to be met. He always wants to be front and center. He's like, well, if I pay the most money for this one, and that's what normally how it happens, Skip. You know, I bet if you go to Jerry's house, he has the most expensive curtains. He has the most expensive chandelier, the most expensive marble. That's fine.
I've been there, seen all that. Yep.
You go to Jerry World, they got the most expensive stuff in that stadium. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yep.
But it doesn't necessarily equate when you're trying to build a team that, okay, if I pay the most money for a quarterback, a running back, wide receiver, offensive line, this, it doesn't necessarily work like that. Coach Belichick proved it. Hell, he wasn't paying anybody. And then winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl, Skip. So, yes, I'm placing this at the feet of Jerry Jones. He's the problem. And until that's resolved, which I don't see in the very foreseeable future, hope he has lived another 100 years. And that means for another 25 years, they won't be in the Super Bowl. Mm. I love it.
You love it.
I do.
So, I'll give Jerry only this. Over his many years of owning and operating the Dallas Cowboys, he has always kept them interesting, often for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
We talk about the Cowboys nearly every day on this show because it's always something with that guy, Jerry Jones, because he's always saying something that offends you or often offends me. And yet, he is the constant. And as he said the other day, I think it's on his radio show, when you work for yourself, there's no firing him as in you, right?
Yeah.
Okay? You just got to change. He's got to change. He's talking in the third person about himself. And I will change. I can change. I'm not saying which way I'll change. Exactly. But I will change.
So what?
But will you change your duties or your responsibility? No. So then we get the classic quote we've heard 100 times. I would write any check, which I believe you would.
Yes.
I'd write any check to win a Super Bowl. Well, unfortunately, there's a thing called the salary cap. So that excludes you writing a check to go win the Super Bowl.
Skip, this is not an auto show. This is not a car show where you go bid the highest money, you get the car.
No.
You go get to write a big check and win to get the Super Bowl.
And the problem here is Jerry Jones will not pay with his own job, because if he would pay by sacrificing himself, I think they might have somebody. If he would go out and hire the best man available to be the brains of the football operation and to keep a distance from the players, as in oversee from above, with objectivity and distance, instead of Jerry wanting to rub elbows with all the players. Some call it jock sniffing. He did play football.
Yeah.
It's not like he's just a crazy fan.
Right.
He did play. He was a starting guard for a national championship team at Arkansas. But he likes to rub elbows with his stars. He likes to have them over for dinner. He likes to socialize with them occasionally. He loved him some Tony Romo. He's trying to get close to Dak, but Dak just said no. Sorry. But he loves him some Zeke, and he overpaid Zeke. And then Jalen Smith, he loves him, and he overpaid him. And D-Law and Amari, he just glows about them. He speaks in poetry about them, and he overpaid every one of them. And now we'll see what happens with Dak. But the problem is he had one dynamo coach, and it was his quote-unquote best friend from Arkansas, who really wasn't his best friend from his days as a Razorback.
No.
But Jimmy was a dynamo. And they actually worked great together. But it was finite, and it wasn't going to last.
Right.
Because Jimmy wanted all the credit. Jerry wanted some. And Jerry was never going to let Jimmy get away with consistently belittling him in front of staffers.
Yeah, exactly.
He's too proud. And he fired him after 2 Super Bowls.
Back to back.
Okay. Yeah.
We got a young team. You got to Skip, we're talking about Emmitt and Troy. You're talking about three guys. Michael might have been 27.
Yep.
Emmitt was probably 25, 26.
Yep.
Troy, 25, 26. So we're talking about they're around the age, slightly older than Patrick Mahomes, and they had won 2 Super Bowls. And Jerry fired him. Jerry bought the Cowboys. It fluctuates.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say on the high end, he paid 150. I've heard as low as 120, as high as 150. Let's just say by the time he won the 3rd Super Bowl in 95, they were worth $300 million. He's worth $300. Jerry Jones worth $8 billion. See, there's been no fallout.
Mm-hmm.
His value has increased, even though his teams have been terrible.
Yeah.
So, Skip.
If you hit him in his pocketbook where he lives, then he would change.
Yes.
But he has no reason to change because they just get bigger and bigger.
The value of his team has just increased. It's going through the roof.
It's the most valuable team in the entire world.
So, Skip. So what's the drawback? Okay, I'm not winning Super Bowls, but my team is more valuable, about $1 billion more than the Patriots.
Okay.
They won 6 of the last 15. So
it's far more valuable.
Yes. So what's the downside from doing it my way?
Okay. He does it his way because it's so much fun.
Yes.
To be the owner and the operator.
Yes.
So what did he do? He did say 500 coaches could win a Super Bowl with this team, and he picked the 501st coach, who was Barry Switzer, and they did. It took 2 years, but they won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Way to go. But then after that, he started picking puppet coaches, and he picked a whole bunch of them until he finally said, okay, I give up. I pick Bill Parcells. But Jerry didn't fire himself from GM, and he finally ran off Bill Parcells because Jerry wanted T.O. He wanted box office.
Right.
And Parcells wanted nothing to do with Terrell Owens. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that was their falling out point. So they went 10-6 the first year under Parcells, then 9-7 and 9-7. It didn't work because Jerry was right in the middle of it, and then we went to Jason Garrett. And it was 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. And he became like a son to Jerry until he finally said, okay, I got to give this up, and I'll go hire a made man, Mike McCarthy, And I have no idea what happened last year because Mike McCarthy was unimpressive to me. And you, I already conceded to you, you might be right. He might have been a product of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in Green Bay.
When you look at the thing that Jimmy did, there was separation between church and state.
A little bit. A little. Enough.
Could you imagine a player going behind Jimmy's back and telling Jerry that something Jimmy's doing and then Jimmy bring it, and Jerry bringing that to Jimmy?
There was that separation.
Yes! That's what I mean. So now, if a player has a problem with a coach, he just go right upstairs to Jerry and talk to Jerry.
I agree.
Yep. You can't have that, Skip. Okay. You take all the coach's power.
So right now, and for many years in this league, there have only been two owners who operated as the GM, and the other is Mike Brown in Cincinnati. But Mike Brown is the son of one of the greatest coaches / GMs in the history of this league, Paul Brown, great Paul Brown.
He grew up around football. I mean, that's the only thing he ever knew.
I got it.
He don't know anything else but the Browns.
Even Mike Brown, not known for spending huge money.
No, he didn't spend no money.
He took over in 1991. Since then, Cincinnati is 0-7 in the playoffs.
Right.
0-7 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does he have to show for his ownership / GMship, right?
Skip, but we expect that from Cincinnati.
Okay.
You don't expect that from the Cowboys. I mean, but you think about the Cowboys. The Cowboys 4-10.
In
the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. Since,
that time.
Yes, okay.
Skip, that's not good, Skip.
If you told me 25 years ago that the Dallas Cowboys wouldn't even play in an NFC championship game in the next 25 years, I would have laughed in your face. But they have not. And in fact, they haven't even come close.
Anybody that was around football in the 90s will tell you, had Jimmy stayed in Dallas, they were going to be the Patriots before the Patriots became the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was. People don't realize how good the Cowboys were.
Is Robert Kraft the GM of the Patriots?
No.
Who is the GM? It's the coach.
Mr. Kraft is perfectly fine having, at that time, Commissioner Paul Tagliabue. Now it's Roger Goodell. He's perfectly fine getting on the stage second Sunday in February and having the commissioner hand him the trophy.
Yep.
That's his role. He's fine with that.
Okay.
Jerry is not fine with
it. No.
Jerry needs a TV show. Jerry needs a radio show. Jerry needs to say the first word to the team. He needs to say the last word to the team.
He would tell you, that's why I own this team.
Yes.
This is my life. I have fun doing this. I want to be the star of this show.
Yeah.
And as star of this show, that means you're not going to have a Super Bowl to show for since Barry Switzer.
Right.
And finally, you win in this league with a top-tier quarterback.
Yeah.
So he put all his eggs in the basket of an undrafted free agent named Tony Romo, who could only take you so far. But he was great box office because it was a roller coaster ride because you didn't know what you were going to get.
Right.
Five touchdowns, the classic Peyton game, 506 yards, and a late interception that lost
that doomed you.
Okay? And then we go forward with a fourth-round quarterback in Dak Prescott, who's edge of the top 10. He might be 10 somewhere. But is he ever going to be Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson?
No.
So if you don't have that guy, Troy Aikman was that guy.
Right. Troy was the number one pick in the draft.
He was. Okay. Bingo.
But, Skip, you got to understand, what Jimmy did, Jimmy came out of college. So all these guys, Jimmy knew because Jimmy had tried to recruit him at the University of Miami. So he knew about Emmitt Smith.
Did.
He knew about Russell Ballard. He knew about all these guys. He knew about Woodson, went to Arizona. So he knew about all the really good players. Mm-hmm. That was like, man, that guy could play. Like, I believe if you gave Coach Saban another opportunity and he had a great quarterback, he would be better this time around because all the guys that he's recruiting to go to Alabama, he know they ended up going to Georgia, Ohio State, all of this. He like, oh, yeah, that guy, let me grab him.
Yep, you're right.
But Jerry wanted to be the show, Skip.
Yep.
He ain't good with just being P.T. Barnum, having the greatest show on turf. He wanted to be the ringmaster.
And that means he's fun to talk about, and we'll have fun talking about him every day of the year, probably through the whole offseason, and there's no Super Bowl.
But you won't be talking about the Super Bowl weekend. No. You won't be talking about it. Can you imagine what Jerry would be like, Skip?
No.
Can you imagine when Jared be on everybody's show?
Everyone's show, all day, every day. Quotes all around. It has been a long 25 years for Jerry. It's been a long 25 years for Skip. I don't have a solution for you guys.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Super Bowl 55 could be a make-or-break game for Patrick Mahomes' career, according to Tony Romo. The former Cowboys QB, who will be calling the game, said, quote, "This is the biggest game Patrick Mahomes will ever play in for the rest of his career. If he loses this game, he cannot catch Tom Brady." Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick is now joining us. So, Mike, that's quite the quote from Tony Romo. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's a little saucy, but, you know, when I think about it in totality, man, and Tony dove deep into this one, I didn't think about it to this magnitude. I think he's right, though. And it's all of what Patrick Mahomes wants. If he wants that GOAT status, I think he's already had a successful career up until this point by a lot of standards. But, you know, if he wants to surpass that GOAT status, I think it'll be important for him to win this game. In order to get there, he closed the gap, and then he only got to get four. If not, Tom Brady, well, he has seven, and then, you know, it's a huge gap there. And then you're talking about having to keep Andy Reid, having to go to Super Bowls and winning them. You know, Tom went to, 10, 11, if I'm not mistaken. Too many to count. But, you know, he won some and lost some. And then those years started to add up, and even though, you know, diets are different. Guys have nutritionalists, and it's, you know, it's a different day and age in terms of training. Guys play longer, which would give Patrick the opportunity to, you know, fulfill that, you know, if he wants to get that GOAT status. But, you know, he still got to have Andy Reid intact. And even though I think he could operate in any offense, if you don't win this one, it just becomes a much more difficult task. But it's all in personal preference for Patrick and what he wants. I'm pretty sure he wants to be the greatest ever. Who don't? And this is a big stage for him. This is a great opportunity to move in that direction. And if it happens, you know, then we'll be talking next year about three-peating and you know, the status that puts you on that elite level in the upper echelon. So I'm excited for, you know, Patrick and what's in front of him, but the ultimate test is defeating TB12.
So let me ask you this. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, Tony said if he doesn't win this one, what happens if he wins this one? He wins next year. He three-peats. Has he passed Tom Brady? Yeah. Tom Brady never three-peated.
No. Yeah, that's a long way to go. We got to look at the long haul. It's about longevity right now, man. Look, we got to take it 1 year at a time with Patrick.
But that's not what Tony did. Tony didn't take it 1 year. He said, this is final.
I understand what Tony's saying. It's going to be difficult to catch Tom. I mean, that'll be seven Super Bowl rings versus one.
But hold on. But you say let it play out. So hold on, Mike. But Mike, you're saying that if he doesn't win this game, Patrick Mahomes' career is over. He retires with one ring.
No, I didn't say that. I say he's already had a successful career.
No, but so let me ask you a question. But so
you win one Super Bowl, that's a success. Now we're talking about achieving GOAT status.
Okay. But here's Mike. He's only been in the league 4 years. So who's to say he doesn't go on and win four more? So let's just say, for the sake of argument, he's 5-1 in Super Bowl with three or four regular season MVPs.
I'm talking about the things that has to happen in order for him to win four more. Got to have Andy, I think. It's imperative. Like, yeah. Come on, we can't deny that. Gotta have Tyreek, gotta have Kelsey.
Yeah. Tyreek is 26 years of age. I believe Kelsey has some more years. My thing is that when Tom Brady, so why would a loss ding Patrick Mahomes, but three losses hasn't dinged Tom Brady? Just answer me that.
Well, we talking about GOAT status, man. We talking about getting the GOAT status.
Well, Montana got no ding.
He's saying he's not gonna catch Tom Brady.
But I'm just saying, Joe Montana has no dings. He's 4-0, didn't throw an interception. I'm asking you, I'm asking Tony Romo, if dings, if a loss is going to hurt, is going to do irreparable harm to Patrick Mahomes, why hasn't three losses
on to his career? It's not going to do. I just said, Shannon, that his career is already a success. It's already a success. He won a Super Bowl. I haven't won a Super Bowl. I can name Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. There's plenty of guys who haven't won one. He's already won one. He's accomplished. Now we're talking about ascending to greatness.
Right.
That's what we're watching in Patrick Mahomes. We got to sit back.
I think something's getting lost in translation between you and I. No, because my thing is, Mike, is that you're saying that a loss is going to ding him. Tony Romo says a loss is...
I'm responding to Tony, but Tony...
But you agree with Tony. You agreed with him. Did you agree with Tony?
Hey, Skip, I know we're going a little long, but, you know, just...
It's okay. He's hard-headed.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You are agreeing with Tony, correct?
I agree with Tony, yes.
Okay, then. So I'm asking you this. If a ding will harm Patrick Mahomes, why hasn't three dings harmed Tom Brady? That's all I'm asking.
Okay, because still he got wasn't six. Patrick Mahomes.
Because like he still got six, regardless of what.
So who's to say Patrick Mahomes won't get five?
Well,
I'm not saying he's not going to get five. I just said as long as he got Andy Reid. And Shay, hold on, Shay. I even said if he operate in another offense, I still think he's more than capable of doing it. I said also said in terms of nutrition and working out, you know, longevity, it's there for him. A 17, 18-year career.
We're going to circle back. Skip, go ahead and take it away, Skip. I know you chomping at the bit. Okay. Go ahead, Skip. Take it away.
Allow me to step back from this and say, I love Tony Romo as a broadcaster far more than I did Tony as my quarterback.
He might be better at that.
He's very good at what he does. He is paid lots of money.
Yes.
To entertain us, to enlighten us during the telecast, and also to promote his game. So he is promoting by being very provocative here. I'm not even sure Tony believes he wants to go that far, but he did.
Right.
And yet, I will give him this much. He's basically saying that to even qualify for the eventual GOAT debate that he could enter, that he needs to beat Tom head-to-head at this point, because he's presupposing, I believe Tony's presupposing, this is going to be Brady's last Super Bowl. So just to be able to say, I beat him head-to-head, even though he's 43 and it's in his first year with a team that a year ago went 7-9, that would at least qualify him for eventual participation in maybe a GOAT debate. That's what he's saying. But if you lose to Brady now, it will always stain your reputation because you lost to Tom Brady when he was 43 and he was with a brand new team that wasn't very good a year ago. Okay, right.
But they're good. To get in the Super Bowl, you got to be good.
Okay,
you don't actually get there.
Okay, but remember, Patrick Mahomes took over a team that had been to the playoffs three straight times that already had Tyreek and Kelce. And to your point, you say, were they that good? Well, they weren't that good, but they were coming. They were rising.
Yeah, they were good players.
Okay, so he's going to step on the field a week from Sunday evening. He'll have the two best receivers on the field. He will be favored to win and probably should win this game against that team that could be just happy to be there playing as a team in its first home Super Bowl.
Would you feel that way if Tom Brady was operating without his two starting – Donovan Smith and Tristan Wirfs.
That's a big loss.
Okay, that's what Patrick Mahomes is under. His two starting tackles are going to be out.
But I'm just telling you, he has two receivers better than any single receiver that Tom will play with.
You need protection to get on the ball, though.
Okay, I got that. Where I go south on this whole discussion is that – you're presupposing Brady won't be back. He's going to play at least two more years, and I'm not going to bet against him to get back to at least one more Super Bowl because I think they might be favored next year to win the NFC going into the year.
I believe it will.
Because that whole team is starting to come of age around what will be a 44-year-old quarterback who to me shows no sign of decline whatsoever. I think his arm might be even stronger than ever. Okay, so what do I know so far from Patrick Mahomes? I get a little offended that he's even entering the discussion yet because you got big wow factor with the MVP. But if you look hard at his performance last year in that Super Bowl, by his standards, it wasn't very good. Two interceptions, one late third quarter, one early fourth quarter when they trailed 20-10.
one play that he got away with on 3rd and 15 that he threw basically a punt pass to Tyreek, who had to come back and wave for a fair catch, and it was 44 yards that saved the game. And then if you're not playing Jimmy G in the fourth quarter, who's going 3 for 11 for a grand total of 36 yards plus a pick, plus missed Emmanuel Sanders at the goal line with a minute and 40 seconds left, which what could have been the winning touchdown pass, you don't survive that game.
But, Skip, you're judging Patrick Mahomes by only Super Bowl. Brady didn't become GOAT by just only playing in Super Bowls. It's AFC Championship game, it's divisional, it's wild card. You look at what Patrick Mahomes has done in his playoffs. He's 17 total touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Look at last week. Was that not a GOAT-like performance?
That was his best game that he's played.
Look at what he did against Tennessee. Look at what he did against the Houston Texans. Even in his first playoff game against Tom Brady, his second playoff game in the AFC Championship game, he was spectacular. Mm-hmm. So we just can't look at it in a vacuum and say, okay, because he threw 2 interceptions in the Super Bowl, that's going to disqualify him. Tom Brady built up this resume, playoffs and Super Bowls.
Okay. But it's almost like Go ahead, Michael.
No, regardless of what, this won't tarnish Patrick Mahomes' image in terms of, just his overall game in any way. You know, I think if he don't win this Super Bowl, he's going to have plenty more opportunities, just like Tom had to win some and lose some. He just won more than he lost. Could be the same for Patrick. So, you know, even though he's going up against Tom at 43 years old, it don't matter. We still got the best of the best going head-to-head.
Okay, I want to ask both of you. Are you saying you don't think Brady will ever get back to another Super Bowl?
Oh, no, I'm not going to say that.
I'm not saying that at all. I think they're more than capable of getting back next year. They're going to be even better next year with OTAs and
I told you that, Skip. I thought
they're going to be even better next year.
I told you midway through the season, I'm not picking them this year, but I'm definitely picking them next year because I thought they would be like what Denver was with Peyton. Is that the first year they were really good, and then the next year they took off. I believe they were going to take off. They're ahead of schedule.
Wait a second. Time out.
They just got to retain Brian Leftwich. He could be a head coach somewhere real soon.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, but next year, Shannon Sharpe is going to pick a 44-year-old quarterback that he said 4 years ago should call it a day and go home.
Yeah, because I'm picking the pieces that are around him. You look at what he has around him. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk says he wants to come back. Cameron Brake. We'll see how O.J. Howard looks after that Achilles.
Maybe.
Skip, the offensive line is only going to get better. The offensive line is only going to get better. Tristan Wirfs was a rookie. Mm. And D. Lyman caught the Dickens getting past him. He ain't going to get worse as a second-year player. Mm-mm. He's about to be a Pro Bowler for a long time.
Neither is going to get worse.
It could be this year or in the next 2 years, like Skip said, because Tom's definitely going to play another 2 years after this, and rightfully so.
I don't know.
He'll get to seven.
After my homeboy.
He'll get to seven. So everybody be chasing seven for the next 30 to 40 years.
After my homeboy throw for about 475, he might call it a year. He might call it a career.
Can I get some dew on that?
We're gonna talk about this as we go. I'll
put dew on 400 plus.
No, we go. It's gonna be 700 yards total, passing yards between those two quarterbacks.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, 700 plus.
Shannon, the bottom line of this discussion is the GOAT is uncatchable.
Oh, we gonna catch him?
No.
Oh, you catch a GOAT? Me and my brother used to catch GOATs. My grandfather had a couple. We used to go in the backyard to catch them.
Those guys.
Yeah, we catch a GOAT.
No mercy.